The next case is 99-1015 Toledo Bar Association versus Stuart H. Aaron. Justice Resnick has recused herself in this case. We're very pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Resnick, Judge Michael Corrigan, Judge of the Court of Appeals, sitting in the 8th District of the Court of Appeals. Ms. Reardon.
Good morning. The question before the court is whether to impose a public reprimand on my client, Stuart Aaron, 3 years after that recommendation was made by the Board of Commissioners and 4 years after Mr. Aaron had retired from the court. I'm here to ask the court not to adopt the recommendation of the Board of Commissioners. It wasn't certified to this court until 1999, although it was made 3 years ago. Mr. Aaron has substantially complied with the recommendations of the court. He's been called to account for his conduct and has done so in a malpractice section. He presents mitigating factors that militate against the imposition of the sanction at this time. And we submit on his behalf that the purposes of a public reprimand would not effectively be served if it weren't imposed now. By way of history in this case, Mr. Aaron committed acts of misconduct that violated disciplinary rules in late 1994. In the first instance, he represented an individual named Tyrone Snodgrass, who publicly teased Mr. Aaron to represent him in criminal appeals. Mr. Aaron failed to file an appellate brief on time, failed to tell his client about it until after the appeal was dismissed. In addition, Mr. Aaron was retained in late 1994 to represent David Howland in a domestic relations matter in Wood County. A hearing was scheduled in December of that year. Mr. Aaron failed to appear for it, and he also failed to inform Mr. Howland of the hearing. The intervention was issued by the court against Mr. Howland. The grievances that we are talking about today were filed in 1995. An investigation and a hearing before the panel, a panel board, took place during that year. In June of 1995, Mr. Aaron, who was 60 at the time, closed his offices in Toledo and moved to Miami, where he lives in.
Has anybody yet figured out how this got lost?
I beg your pardon?
Has anybody yet figured out how this got lost?
We have not, Your Honor. The affidavit of Mr. Marshall has been submitted with the relator papers, which explains essentially the timeline and how the delay came about. But as far as an explanation for why the matter was filed as dismissed and reported in case history as dismissed, I don't have an answer to that.
So we really don't know where the administrative follow-up was?
I don't know that, Your Honor.
Okay.
The recommendation of public reprimands came from the Board of Commissioners in April of 1996. They recommended public reprimands and additionally two conditions that Mr. Aaron fulfilled. One was to refund the retainers that he was paid in the Snodgrass matter. And the second condition was to return the file that he maintained for the client, Mr. Howland, to the Toledo Bar Association so it could be returned to the client. Mr. Aaron did both of those. Although the recommendation was issued in late April of 1996, as we know, it was not certified to the court until May of this year, and we don't know why. It's our position with respect to Mr. Aaron that he substantially complied with the recommendation. The only thing to be decided now is whether it's appropriate to impose a public reprimand at this time.
And would you agree, counsel, that other than your view that it's untimely, nobody can really quarrel with that view, but other than that, is there any reason why a public reprimand would not be appropriate here?
Well, considering the purposes of a public reprimand, the foremost, the court has announced its opinion, is to protect the public from the conduct of the lawyer at issue, so that individuals, when they're deciding to choose a lawyer, can determine whether that's the person who's going to follow the disciplinary rules of the court, but also to punish that lawyer and to make him an example, him or her an example, to lawyers like me and the other lawyers in this courtroom so that we can read every Monday the type of conduct that will get us into trouble if we do it. In this instance, we submit that the first two purposes wouldn't be filled. Mr. Aaron is no longer practicing, so there are no other future clients who might be put at risk by this behavior. And secondly, the deterrent purpose wouldn't be served because he no longer represents a client.
He hasn't chosen to resign, or has he gone inactive, or what?
During my last communication with my client, he was still active. I know that he was 60 years old when the matter went before the Board of Commissioners, which you may be seeing now. And as I understand it, he can file for retired status when he's 65. I don't know whether he's done that.
Or inactive?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
In any case, he has closed his offices, and we can represent support that he's no longer engaged in the practice.
Could he be engaged in Florida?
No, he's not licensed.
He didn't get?
Okay. No. We would also submit to the court that although it doesn't have a positive effect on your determination, Mr. Aaron was sued for malpractice in connection with non-practice. I defended that case for him, and the Lincoln County Court of Common Pleas dismissed it on summary judgment on the grounds that the client, Tyrone Snodgrass' mother, was unable to establish that she suffered any legally cognizable damages, and that was affirmed on appeal. So we submit that to the court in opposition to the Bar Association's contention that he has had to pay no penalty. While it's in a different forum, Mr. Aaron has had to account for his conduct through a lengthy process and has done so and was exonerated from having committed legal malpractice. I would also there are several mitigating factors to consider under the totality of the circumstances really debilitate against imposing a reprimand on him now. As you may be aware, Mr. Aaron committed his misconduct in late 1994. During that time, his sole surviving parent, his dad, was coming to cancer, and he lived in Florida. Mr. Aaron went back between Ohio and Florida to take care of his father and experienced the type of stress, anxiety, and conflict of obligations to family and to clients that those of us who have cared for a dying parent can appreciate. While those circumstances do not exonerate him and don't excuse his conduct, they certainly explain that it wasn't malicious or intentional. He recognizes that two of his clients did not received the attention that they were due, but it wasn't out of greed or out of any malicious purpose.
And all the restitution has been paid?
That's correct, Your Honor, it has. And we've also, as I mentioned, returned the file to Mr. Hound. Although I don't know the outcome of the situation, I can tell you that we have refunded the money to his wife and that the malpractice case is not with us. Oh, I should also add that the appeal brought in Lewis County was reinstated despite Mr. Aaron's failure to file a brief. Another attorney prosecuted the appeal and the conviction was affirmed. I would also submit to the court that Mr. Aaron, who was admitted to practice in Ohio in 1961, went through 34 years of practice as full practitioner for many of them without any prior disciplinary action taken against him. As I explained to Justice Cook, we admit that the purpose of the public reprimand would not deserve if it were to be imposed at this time. Instead, we ask the court to not impose that sanction and to allow Mr. Aaron to have some repose and to experience his retirement without having the public stigma of a reprimand imposed at this stage.
Thank you, Ms. Rudin. Mr. Cherry.
In this matter, in the Lyle case, Mr. Stuart Aaron received a retainer of $5,000 in July of 1993 to represent a criminal defendant in a appellate matter. We obtained a transcript of the trial. It took several extensions of time to do that and failed to file a brief. After the expiration of some period of time, the Court of Appeals dismissed the appeal for failure to file. And in spite of Mr. Aaron's having regular contact with the defendant's mother, the individual who retained him, he didn't inform her that the appeal had been dismissed for.
Counsel, they didn't see him as a grievance.
to commit that we don't need to do?
I can explain to the best of my knowledge what happened in that regard. In 1996, the board issued its finding, sent out a standard form letter with the findings of fact and conclusions of law dated April 29, 1996, to the parties, to the council, and to the bar association. We have a copy of that. It indicated that that would be certified and a show cause order would be issued by this court, as is the normal course of events. For some reason, and I don't know why, at the Board of Commissioners, it was logged as a dismissed case rather than a one in which a sanction was recommended.
So the client would be accurate, very accurate. He said he called and he was told that the records reflect that.
As I understand it, the chairman of our grievance committee, in response to the inquiry from Mr. Harris, contacted the Board of Commissioners and was told it was dismissed. And that information was then conveyed to Mr. Harris' counsel and turned to the case. When I arrived at the Philadelphia Bar Association about a year ago, I saw that we had an open file on that to carry on the reports and so on. Frankly, when I got around to it, I called the Board of Commissioners to find out what the status of the case was. And I was also told it was dismissed. And at which point I initiated an inquiry, basically to the effect of, then why do I have a copy of findings of fact and conclusions of law that recommend a public reprimand? And people began to search for files. How it got lost, I don't know. It's in the Board of Commissioners' office.
Do you have any evidence that Mr. Aaron continues to practice law?
I don't have any evidence that he continues to practice law. He does continue on active status.
But he's not disbarred, so.
He's not disbarred. He's not suspended. He's not. He has to resign. He could open an office tomorrow. This is a sort of strange case, and a violation is admitted, and the only issue is whether there ought to be any penalty at all.
Mr. Chair, let me ask you, would the Toledo Bar be offended by an order that said in effect the case, the matter is dismissed? In other words, we would not impose the sanction unless the respondent attempts to practice law on the file again, at which time the sanctions would then be imposed. You may not be able to answer that, but I just
do. If that is what you have,
what would you think?
It crossed my mind. I don't know what is allowed by the rule.
If the purpose of the reprimand, probably this is, I think Ms. Reardon has made a pretty good statement of the purpose of the public reprimand. And if assuming that she stated the purpose correctly, would that not serve the purpose of the reprimand?
Well,
with the exception of advising lawyers of the type of conduct, this is not the type of conduct that most lawyers need to be told is not proper. It's not a unique situation. We see this too often, frankly. So that there's not a lot of teaching value in this case if we issue the public reprimand, but it does serve the purpose of advising citizens who might want to use his services as a lawyer, if he ever attempts to be a lawyer, practice here, that he's got some public reprimand.
I would submit, Your Honor, that Mr. Chief Justice, that the purposes of any sort of penal mechanism is threefold. It's the three points that Judge Reardon made: retribution, deterrence,
Actually,
the public is not an issue here. If this individual decides he doesn't want to practice law in Ohio anymore, he doesn't take the steps go-to factors are such that some penalty must be imposed.
Because what the penalty is, the public record, the word goes. This case is now at the time. It's going to be an LBAR. Even if we dismiss it, it would be basis and not nobody's advocating that we offer an opinion that says this conduct that there is some set of sanctions. So the purpose of the warning for our kind of activity unfortunately is not the most egregious we see here. Also it called the attention of prevention by those who are the sanctions. That's still going to be the bottom line, regardless of the outcome of this particular individual.
I think you're asking if a dismissal would not be, dismissal with an opinion would not be a functional equivalent of a public recommend?
Yeah.
State records repository, and he communicated that information to Mr. Connolly, we in turn communicated to the client and believed at that point that the case is over. Now, I understand that we didn't have the final word from the Supreme Court where these cases go, but we did have a representation from the Chair's Grievance Committee that the matter had been dismissed, and we took that on faith. And finally, to the board, that we've discussed the purpose of the vision of public reprimand and the sanctioning attorneys generally. While this isn't a case of a unique circumstance, the court might take this opportunity to avoid imposing a sanction as a means of encouraging efficiency in the grievance process to perhaps discourage mistakes and delays like this from taking place.
Well, just so we don't misunderstand here, this is the first time we've seen this happen from the board. They out of many, many cases, so this is not a common occurrence, and it's fairly unique for them to miss filing something here. I wouldn't want anything that's happened here to be taken as if this is routine or we're concerned about it, because obviously it shouldn't happen, but it is not, it's highly unusual.
And I understand that in preparing for today, I wasn't able to find any cases where a circumstance like this arose anywhere. In any case, we submit that for the court's consideration. But finally, again, we ask that you not oppose public reprimand on Mr. Ann at this time, and I will, if directed by the court, instruct him to take inactive status for the following year and a half that he has remaining before he would be eligible for first item status. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.